So the past few weeks, we've been working through a series that I've entitled The Miracle Worker, and we have looked at the different miracles of Jesus, where Jesus has turned water into wine, he has provided a miraculous catch of fish, he has cleansed a leper, he has healed a paralytic, he has cast out thousands of demons. So today, since we are in the Advent season and we are preparing for Christmas, I thought that it'd be fitting to go back to the first miracle, the miracle that started it all, which is the birth of Christ. So we're going to be in Matthew today, Matthew chapter 1, and it's going to be verses 18 to 25, if you'd like to turn there with me. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated, 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." So in this gospel account, we see the narrative of the birth of Jesus. And before we go into the depth of understanding regarding the birth and who this child truly is, I'd like us first to draw our attention to the parents. More specifically, the faith of the two parents here. Because if you notice, in all of the miracles that we have seen in the past, God is always expecting and calling for and requiring a demonstration of faith from mankind before he will show or he will work in a miraculous way. And that's what he does here with the birth of Christ. See, he speaks through angels to the parents. First, we see Mary's faith here. See, Mary and Joseph, they were betrothed. Now, to give you a little bit of background, for Hebrew wedding customs, it's a little bit different than how we understand it today. See, to be betrothed was basically to be married. They actually would call themselves husband and wife at the moment of the celebration of being betrothed. So it's not how we would kind of say it, how being engaged is like, we're more formally dating and the plan now is to get married. They would actually call themselves husband and wife at this point. But the difference would be that they would still live in separate homes where the wife or, you know, the betrothed one, the woman, she would be living with her father or her family still. And this could last for up to about a year in which that they would be separated for a year, but they would still be considered husband and wife. And then after that time period has elapsed, then they would consummate that. And then they would have the wedding festivities of the bride and the groom. So, with that being said, these two, Mary and Joseph, they are in this period of time where they are betrothed to one another. Now, however, Mary, though she is betrothed to Joseph, the angel Gabriel comes to her and calls her the highly favored one and says that you have been chosen by God to bear the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this would be a huge decision for any of us. Taking on a baby is a huge responsibility. Me and my wife have a baby on the way, and I'm just constantly finding out new things that I have to do and prepare. My wife has a new thing, a new project, a new thing we got to build all the time, it seems like. There's a lot of responsibility with a baby, right? Well, she is making this decision in this moment. The moment that this angel comes here, the angel is saying, this is what God is asking of you. But not only that, but think about the social ramifications, the social consequences that are going to happen here. So not only is she risking her relationship with her betrothed, because she doesn't know if an angel or if God's ever going to reveal to Joseph what has just happened to her. She could say what happened and say the angel is telling her this, but she knows that ultimately it's very possible that Joseph might leave her. That Joseph might break up with her and think that she has been unfaithful. And in certain cases, he could give her a writ of divorce or certificate of divorce, but he could also potentially even get her stoned for adultery. Now, she didn't commit adultery, but she has to weigh these serious consequences in her life. But not only that, but then she also has to think about, okay, well, even if my husband or my betrothed doesn't leave me, what is everybody else going to think? I'm not consummated to my husband yet. And I might be found with child. I might be pregnant in front of all of these fellow Israelites. People talk. You know how gossip can spread pretty quickly? In just our community, imagine in a Jewish village. People will talk, and Mary knew this. But despite all of that, we see her commitment to obedience. We see Mary's beautiful faith. Because Mary says yes to God. Mary doesn't care about what the social ramifications are. She doesn't care, ultimately, if her husband will leave her. If everybody else in the community will shame her, she says, I am going to say yes to God. So we see Mary's faith here. But then we also see, in this text, we see Joseph's faith. See, it describes Joseph as a just man. That means that he is a righteous man, a guy who does the right thing. He cares about people. And he demonstrates this compassion towards his betrothed because he finds that Mary, who he has not known intimately, he finds that she is with child now. And what he chooses to do is he says, I'm not going to make an example out of her. I'm going to put her away quietly. So he does what most people would probably presume. He thinks she has committed adultery and he's going to divorce her quietly, but not trying to ruin her life or ruin her reputation. So he's trying to show compassion on her. But then we see that an angel of the Lord then comes to Joseph in a dream. And this angel is saying, I understand everything that you're thinking right now. I know what's going through your head logically, but I want you to keep your wife. I want you to stay with Mary because this child that is with her is of the Holy Spirit. This child is of God coming to the earth. So I want you to take your wife with confidence and love her and know that she has been faithful to you. And then Joseph, like Mary, trusts and obeys God. I think we can learn so much from the faith of Jesus' parents here. See, if the world is going to shame you, trust God. If you might lose certain relationships, trust God. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, and even if your emotions are just running rampant and you just have all these different concerns of the world, trust God. And you can see miracles happen in your life. And that's what we see here for Mary and Joseph with their faith. They trust in God, and it sets up this miracle, which is the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's what we see in this story. However, when Matthew, this gospel, is starting out, it describes the genealogy of Jesus. And now it's interesting. See, we just turned the page from the last chapter of Malachi. This is the Old Testament. And literally, we just turn a page in our Bibles and we think, okay, it's just the next page. But this has been hundreds of years where these Jewish people have been waiting for a Messiah. And now that we turn the page to Matthew chapter 1, and there's this genealogy, which at first glance seems pretty normal to a lot of the things in the Old Testament, where we see a lot of these genealogies, right? It's the thing that you skip all the time and go to the other part of Scripture because you don't want to read all of the crazy names you don't know how to pronounce. Well, this is the genealogy, it says, of Jesus Christ. And so what's so important about this is this genealogy is going to show us some similarities to others in the past, but also it's going to show us something uniquely different. See, in this text, we are shown that this child that is born is coming from the line of Abraham, and it's coming through the line of King David. So this person is of the Davidic line. But also, if you look in the very first verse of this chapter, chapter 1 of Matthew, it says that this book is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So not only is it saying that this person is the line, the Jewish line, and coming through the Davidic king, but it's saying that this person is Jesus Christ. Now, Christ is not his last name. Christ is a title. It is saying that he is the anointed one. And this would be a common title that was given to David or certain kings in the past. So when we are seeing that, they're saying this is the genealogy of the Christ through David. This is saying this is the promised Messiah, the promised anointed one, the promised king that has now come. So, as I said, the multiple hundred years between Malachi and Matthew, they've been anticipating and hoping for and seeking after this promised king. But then we see that this is not an ordinary king like of the past. This Messiah is different from David in some way. See, because it describes in verse 18, it says that this child is of the Holy Spirit. And as we've already noted, Mary and Joseph had not known each other. They have not consummated their marriage. So what this is saying is that this king has a divine origin. Think about that. The child that is born, that we are celebrating for Christmas time, has a divine origin. The power of the Holy Spirit fell upon Mary, and now this child is conceived. But then, who is this child who is divine or has this divine origin? Well, it tells us in verse 23. See, in verse 23 it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." So, this is a Hebrew text of Isaiah that is being quoted here, chapter 7, verse 14, which is saying that there is this coming one who is going to be called Emmanuel, which is translated then God with us. So this child here that we see that is being born, this child is Emmanuel. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, wait, it says genealogy of Jesus Christ. It says that they named him Jesus, but then it says he shall be called Emmanuel. So was that just like his nickname? Like he was Jesus, but you know, they called him Emmanuel or something like that, or Manny on the side, right? No, what this is saying is that Emmanuel is describing who this person is, who this child is. So this is a title, a designation of who this person is. And it's saying, who is this person? Who is Jesus? Who is this child? He is God with us. So this child is God. He is Yahweh, Jehovah, the great I am, the one that we see working all throughout the Old Testament. This is who this baby is that's laying in this manger. It's literally God incarnate. And that's what the doctrine of the incarnation is. One of the foundational beliefs for us as Christians is that God came to the earth and became man without ceasing to be God. So Jesus then is truly God and truly man. He's not half God and half man. He is the God-man. He is truly God and truly man. He added a human nature without ever losing his divine nature. And we see this described in John chapter 1, where we see the description of the eternal word. I'm going to read verses 1 to 5 and also verse 14 for you. It says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So when we are seeing and we are reading that there is this child who was born to be called Emmanuel, that this is God with us, this is God made known, the word, the eternal word that has made become flesh, and now it is saying he dwelt among us. So the one who has created each and every one of us, the one who knows everything about us, he came to this earth. The light of the world stepped down into darkness. And he dwelt, he walked the earth. So whenever we've seen all of these miraculous sermons or this miraculous miracles that have been happening with Jesus in the past, we now know that this is God walking around and healing people and saving people and performing these great wonders. This is God coming to earth. But then there's this question. Why did God come? Why did God come to be with us? The answer is found in verse 21. See, there's a mission that's going on here. Verse 21 says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The mission of this child is to save the world. Jesus came to save the world. He came to save you and me from our sins. Because the Hebrew name for Jesus is Joshua, which we would have pronounced in that time Yeshua. And Yeshua means Yahweh, God, is salvation. So it's interesting, with the two names that is given about this child, we see it is God with us. It's saying who he is, God. But then it's also saying Jesus, what he came to do, save. So God with us came to save. And that is who this child is. So we need to understand that with Christmas being celebrated, we can never separate Christmas from the cross. When Jesus laid his back on the wooden manger, we know that that was the purpose of him eventually laying his back on the wooden cross. Jesus, this baby, this infant, the divine, came to die. Can you imagine that? This mother, Mary, holding her infant son and singing to him, and Joseph watching and knowing this baby, his purpose is to die. That'd be hard. Or can you imagine when Jesus chose to come to the earth, knowing his whole life mission was to suffer and die? You probably wouldn't like that if I said your purpose in life is to go and die. Right? That doesn't sound very encouraging. But because of us, because of what he's doing for us, we can celebrate because of this. Because Jesus came to die and suffer for us on our behalf to pay our moral fine, and that's what the cross is all about. So when we celebrate Christmas, we are celebrating the mission which the incarnate one came and took the cross. But then why? Why did Jesus come and die for us? Well, I'm sure many of us have heard this before, but it's one simple word. Love. The reason Jesus took human flesh, the reason he suffered and died on a cross, was because he loves you. If you hear my voice right now, Jesus loves you. God loves you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, the cosmos, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves you, and he gave the greatest gift imaginable, his one and only Son, and he offered him as a sacrifice for you because he loves you. So in this dark, cold world where there are so many things going on and you can feel alone, you can feel lost sometimes, I want to encourage you that the light of the world knows your name. The light of the world came down to the earth and he died for you because he loves you. God loves you and he came for you. And you have a reason to rejoice this Christmas season. I know that this year has been a very hard year on many of us. There's been things happening with our relationships, with our jobs, with our health, so many things, so many concerns. But I want to remind you to trust God. Trust in his sacrifice. Trust in his love. Trust in his Son, Jesus, because he loves you. But I also want to remind you that when we say Jesus is Emmanuel, it does mean that Jesus came to the earth. But it also means God is with us. See, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he says that if you believe in him, you shall have eternal life. When we have our faith in God, it's not because all of a sudden we just are good enough to have eternal life. The reason that we have everlasting and eternal life is because God has now come and resided inside of us. If you have turned from your sins and if you trust in Jesus Christ, you are now the temple of God. Wherever you are, wherever you go, God is with you. God is with us. Like I said, you can feel alone sometimes. You can feel that nobody else knows what you're thinking or what you're going through. But God does, because God is with you. If you are in Christ, you are never alone. If you have God, then you have nothing to fear. And that's what the angels said to the shepherds whenever Jesus was born. And they are proclaiming this wonderful news. It says in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, it says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" The King, the Savior, God came. And now He is making Himself available to every single one of us. And He is saying, "Do not be afraid. Do not be concerned. Don't be anxious. Have peace and comfort and joy, because God is with us." And every time we come to worship Him, every time we take communion together, every time we think about the cross, it's a reminder now that God is with us, because of the power of the Holy Spirit that fell upon Mary has now fallen upon each and every one of us. So let us then rejoice in this holiday season. Let us rejoice at the coming of our King, who came to the earth to die for us. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for Your wonderful and marvelous and everlasting, unfailing love, that You would send Your only Son to come and to die so that we could be saved. And when Jesus rose from the dead, He affirmed everything that You have ever promised us in Your Word. And so now, as we go through the hard seasons of life, the difficult things, the challenges, we can rejoice. We can know that our joy is full because Jesus is victorious. He fulfilled His mission. He gave us life. He is the light of the world that brings light to every man. And we can celebrate this Christmas season because now God is with us forever. In Jesus' name, amen.